The first reading from the Old Testament is from Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 16, 20 to 24. Well, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks to God. Okay. And there's the second reading now, which is Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to the end of the chapter. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or in a stranger or needing clothes or sick in a prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then we will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
We ask your Holy Spirit to fill Andrew with your grace. Inspire his words that he's prepared, and as he speaks them, inspire us to hear your voice today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Last Sunday evening, Ian phoned me and asked if I could do the talk this morning. And shortly afterwards, I read the passage from Matthew. And it really sobered me. And I reflected why. And it was because in the previous couple of weeks, I've been rather thinking about my own mortality. I suppose it was started off by attending the memorial service here 2 weeks earlier, when Helen Suarez did a wonderful address, and it is about her experiences of grief. And it included for her elder sister, Margaret, who Joy and I had met on several occasions. Now, Margaret was a lovely, vivacious lady who died very suddenly and unexpectedly. And Margaret would probably have been a year or so younger than what I am now. And then a few days later, I was stunned by the news of Malcolm Cameron, a sudden death from a heart attack. Well, Malcolm and his wife Hazel were in this building for a number of years. And it just made me just think about how well my affairs were organized. Now, have I really made a beneficial difference to anybody? And then we had the memorials, the Remembrance Sunday service. And I always think about that time, if I'd been a generation or two generations older, what it would have been like, you know, how those guys, when those guys had died, I could have been in their place. And it just brought things home. And literally a few minutes before Ian phoned, I'd watched a tribute program about Bobby Ball, who was actually, along with his partner, a born-again Christian. And he fell ill with COVID, and we've heard about that this morning, and literally died a few days later. And it just also made me think, you know, hold on a sec, you know, I'm going to be standing before God at some stage, and how will I be? And I was thinking, you know, I don't know about you, but I had two or three years of disappointments, exams when I was at school. And that, you think, well, how would my examination go? Chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew's Gospel are regarded as one of Jesus' sermons and are given to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, literally a couple of days before his crucifixion. And before they get there, on the way, after leaving the temple, Jesus comments that every stone of the building will be thrown down. And later they probably ask him, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus goes on to warn about the signs, those claiming to be Christ, false prophets, wars, that they, his disciples, be persecuted and put to death. Other events, and then, at that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He tells them in verse 36, but no one knows about the day or hour, not even the Son, but only the Father. And this not knowing comes out also in the parable of the 10 virgins, the start of chapter 25. It's a bit like, in some ways, those people who died unexpectedly. This is the Sunday before Advent. And Advent is a period when we look forward to more than Jesus' birth, but also to his second coming. For me, in many ways, Advent has been sexually hijacked. You know, we have chocolate-filled Advent calendars. And the commercial pressures to spend, 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 and the frantic rush to overindulge. And to be honest, churches have often focused more on generating good, warm feelings through carol and crib service, rather than looking at judgment and the fear of God quietly forgotten. Even though, as my reading this morning, my passage from Psalm 147 said, the Lord delights in those who fear him. In the past, Advent was treated rather like Lent, as a period of meditation, reflection, confession, and repentance. The lectionary theme for this Sunday is Christ the King. Our modern view of monarchy has little commonality with the meaning in the past. Our queen is a figurehead with ceremonial duties. She does not have the power, as monarchs once did, to go to war or decide if someone lived or died. Yes, although we are unlikely to see his second coming, we still have to stand before our king. our reading, which unfortunately some of the sound went on, and the great, some of the great songs we've had this morning, paints a lovely picture of Christ sitting on his throne in heavenly glory, with the nations gathered before him. But there's a sharp edge. Although it is assumed to mean members of God's community sitting before him, they are split as one would separate sheep and goats. The righteous sheep on his right are told, "You are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you." And it's because they had looked after Jesus when he was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, lacking clothes, sick, and in prison. The righteous sheep respond, "We didn't see you." But Jesus replies, "What you did for the least, you did for me." The second group are cast out because they hadn't fed or tended the needy. And they cry out, "If we'd known it was you, we'd have done something different." You may recall that Jesus told his Pharisees they were blind hypocrites. They strove to be holy. But Jesus is saying, be compassionate. There's always opportunities to be compassionate, to be a blessing. Love is the more important thing. Loving one's neighbor as oneself. I confess that I've known there have been times when I've not been as kind or as gentle as I might have been. And it grieves me. But a greater concern for me is not knowing and not knowing the extent of me being blind to those in need, deaf to the pain behind the words of others, having a closed heart due to being absorbed by my own issues, and being like those on the Jericho Road and simply pass by. The verses before our gospel reading is the parable of the talents, which Ian spoke on last week. And apparently Cardinal Newman, the Roman Catholic theologian of the 19th century, used to say, each of us has been put here with a particular calling in mind, which only we can do. What will Christ say about my record or your record? Judgment and redemption are prime themes in the Old Testament. God's people, time and time again, drift away and suffered as a consequence. As we've heard, Ezekiel was in a foreign land. He was one of the exiles in Babylon. Yes, he is best known for his vision of the valley full of dry bones. His key message in our first reading is that God has not abandoned his people and has the power to restore them to the household, nationhood, and covenant faith. The early part of chapter 34 of Ezekiel castigates the leaders. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves and allow the sheep to be food for wild animals. And he compares this against the wonderful promises of God's love. And this is the basis for Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd. Our reading has 10 promises of "I will," including, "I will search for my sheep. I will look after them. I will rescue them. I will bring them into their own land. I will tend my sheep and make them lie down. I will search for the lost. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. So if you're feeling unworthy, or like me, have the residue of some teenage fears of exams, take heart. Jesus died for us. He wants us to pass his examination by rescuing us and to bring us into his green pastures. Mindful of Cardinal Newman's words, each has been put here with a particular calling in mind, which only we can do. It reminded me of a person I know well, who for years prayed that God would use her. And she is now in a significant ministry role. And now she prays that God would use her son. But I'd like to pray for us all. Lord, we are sorry when we've been blind, deaf, indifferent to those in need or those hurting. We are sorry when we are shied away from the calling you have in mind for us and ignoring the prompts that you've put in our minds. So as we move into Advent, fill our hearts with your love. Open our spiritual ears so that we can be your hands, feet, and voice to share your love and to do the things that only we can do. Amen. So that when we get to our final day, standing before Jesus, perhaps instead of having, could have done better, may the greeting be, well done, good and faithful servant, and take our place. And perhaps we'd be like Nobby Styles after the 66 World Cup, dancing a jig around heaven's garden. Amen.